Well, thank you all again. I keep saying that every time I come up here, I say thank you. My belly's full. That was absolutely delicious. Y'all have blessed us in so many ways this week, and we are very, very grateful. And I do want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to not only be here this week with my family, but also the opportunity to share really a passion of mine, this idea of missionary partnership. I can remember even during maybe a first or second furlough, and I'd sit down with pastors and begin discussing different issues, and I could see that there was kind of a disconnect sometimes between what the pastor was thinking and what the missionary was thinking. And I even have a good friend, and he said sometimes at college we train pastors to be pastors and missionaries to be missionaries, and sometimes we don't cross with ideas in this idea of partnership. And also through the years I've noticed that we have a lot of supporting churches, but not quite as many partnering churches like Thompson Road Baptist Church. And I just love hearing the testimonies. Almost every time I get to meet someone in the church, you talk about, oh, I had a great time when we went and visited this missionary, and what a blessing it was to visit that missionary. And that is exciting. That leads to partnership. And so that, again, as I said, that's kind of a passion of mine. And so Pastor asked me to share some of that passion and some of the details from the book back there on the back table called Missionary Partnership. And so Sunday morning in Sunday school, we had the opportunity to start the first part of that, and we talked about what is a missionary. Some people have the idea that everybody is a missionary, and we looked at the fact that, no, a missionary literally means someone who is sent. Someone who is sent away, usually a distance. Maybe they have to cross into a different culture. They have to cross and learn a different language. And what do when they get there? They are sent to preach God's word, specific revelation. They are sent to preach the gospel, the good news, that only Jesus Christ the Lord can save them. And that definition, that description of those who are sent to preach that message that I just described can be seen all throughout human history, all through the Bible. We looked at some examples of missionaries in Genesis. We looked at Moses and in Exodus, and we looked at different missionaries of the Old Testament. We looked at Paul and the apostles. They are sent ones. They were missionaries as well. And so then we talked about, well, okay, so if we are a local church and we are sending missionaries to the uttermost part of the earth, how can we be good senders? All right? The Bible is clear. We are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Obviously, God has planted each and every one of you here in the Indianapolis area for this time. And maybe during this missions conference, someone will surrender to that command, and this local church will send you to some distant land. But even though not everyone can be sent and go across the world, everyone is to be involved in the Great Commission. That means you're either going or you are sending. All right? So how can we be good senders? What does it mean to be, biblically, how can we be good partners with missionaries? And so I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to Philippians like we did on Sunday morning. Philippians, we started with the first two points that we see in this inspired missionary prayer letter. That's how I describe the book of Philippians. Paul is writing to one of his supporting churches, a faithful supporting. They didn't just send one-time gift. According to Philippians, they sent once and again, unto Paul's necessity. We see them described, it's been mentioned a couple times already in this conference, when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he described this church and the churches in Macedonia. He was referring to the church in Thessalonica, the church in Philippi. He was talking about this church and their faithful partnership, all right? So here in Philippians, in this prayer letter, I have pointed out a couple of points already. How Paul said this church in Philippi was a good partnering church. We notice the first point in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine, all making request with, what's that word? Joy. The church in Philippi because of their relationship and their partnership with the Apostle Paul, encouraged him with joy. And we said, a good sending church, a good partnering church, is a church that supports their missionaries with moral support. They just bring joy to the heart of their missionaries. When that missionary thinks of them and prays for them, there is joy. Secondly, and this is where we rounded up, we ended. This is the review here as we get started. Secondly, we saw in verse 19 that a good support or partnering church provides prayer support. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. The Bible says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And so obviously, it's been emphasized this week over and over again, but here it is. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing and saying, "I thank God for your prayers." Don't ever say, "I'm not able," or "I'm too old to be involved in missions, so I'll just pray." Oh, no, no. Prayer is so critical in missions. Paul said in another place, "Labor together with me in your prayers to God for me." Praying is laboring in missions, according to the Scriptures. And so pray in partnership with your missionaries. Now, to know them may require what we're about to look at here, our third point. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you need to know your missionaries if you're going to pray for them. The Bible says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That means when we pray for missionaries, "Lord, bless all the missionaries around the world," is not effectual, fervent praying. Okay, I don't mean to be unkind, but it requires you to read the prayer letters, get to know the missionaries so that you can pray for them specifically. And that leads to our third point. How do you get to know them? Look at chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. The third point I want to emphasize in missionary partnership is supporting or partnering with missionaries with communication. I love this part right here. Philippians 2, verse 19. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." I'm just going to skip ahead here to verse 25 as well. So Paul wants to send Timothy, all right, to communicate with the church in Philippi what's going on in his life and ministry in the dungeon, in house arrest, in bonds, all right? But then he wants Timothy to come back with the message from the people in Philippi, all right? They, as you know, they did not have email back then. They had T-mail, all right? Timothy had to go with the message, and then he would bring back the message, okay? And that was the communication of that day. And Paul clearly looked forward to that. He longed for that communication. You know, each church, particularly the partnering churches, all right, they have ways of doing this. And I thank God for the ladies in this church who send those regular updates of what's going on here at Thompson Road Baptist Church. I know some of you, I get it, and they're like, "Well, you know, I'm sorry this is a little late. Hey, don't ever apologize. We love getting those updates. We appreciate that. That helps us. We pray for you. We pray for your pastor. I have a list every Sunday morning. Usually we're on the other side of the road, so you all are sleeping. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your pastor that when you wake up Sunday morning, that God will bless in this service, that people will get saved, and that this church will grow, and God will pray. I'm praying for you. How do I know what to pray for? Except I get those updates from this church." That is a blessing. That is a blessing. That's what Paul's talking about here. A partnership with the churches with that communication. So communicate with your missionaries. Please, when I say that, I'm not saying send us a long survey of questionnaires, all right? That's not helpful, all right? Give us a call. Send us an email. Like those updates, all right? Give us a call, say, "How's it going?" All right? That means a lot. It really does. Social media, I know there's a lot of dangers. There can be a lot of things that you need to take care of and so forth. But you know what? For a missionary, social media can be a blessing too. It can be a way of communicating instantly. I used to really shy away from social media, and I was in a missions conference with this missionary, and he really helped me, really encouraged and challenged me. He didn't know he was challenging me, but he said, you know, he's down in Bolivia, and he'd say, you know, when I get on a boat in the morning and I'm heading upriver to preach the gospel, he said, I love just posting a little something on social media, and I know I've got 100, 200, 300 people praying for me that day. I'm like, why am I shy about telling people what's going on in Cameroon? I don't want people to think, you know, maybe he's bragging about this or that, or maybe he's telling a story just to be sensational or whatever. Whatever you think, that's up to you. But if you're going to pray for me, I want to get the word out. And so that really challenged me to communicate with our supporting churches. And hopefully you all can get that burden to get involved in that communication and pray for your missionaries through communication support. Next, I want to mention, look at verse 25. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion, and labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. I love this verse. I have never met anybody who named their son Epaphroditus. But you know what? This guy is incredible. It's interesting. The Bible doesn't say anything about him being a great preacher, a great proclaimer of the word. I call him Mr. Logistics. I've had people say to me, well, there's no such thing as mission boards in the Bible. You're going to have a hard time reading Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, and not seeing mission agency going on right there in that verse. Listen to this description again. This is a guy, the Bible says, it was necessary that Epaphroditus come. Why? Look at this description of this man. And remember, it doesn't say anything about preacher. Doesn't say anything about somebody who stands up in front of people. Look at this description. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger. You sent him from your church to me as a messenger. And he did what? He ministered to my wants or my needs. Mr. Logistics. No matter what Paul was doing on the mission field, I just imagine Epaphroditus, he was running around with the bulletins, running around doing the sound system, running around setting up chairs, running around doing anything that Paul needed, Epaphroditus was there to help out and minister to those needs. You know, missionaries need that kind of partnership. Missionaries need help with their finances and banking and things like that when they're on the other side of the world and there's different time zones and things. Missionaries need help with their prayer letters. And there are Epaphrodituses in the United States who can help them and partner with them in helping getting those communications and things out. Packing containers and shipping boxes and things to the field with essential curriculums and maybe books and Bibles and M&Ms, things that are necessary on the foreign field, all right? Those things that help in partnerships with missionaries. The missionary can't leave the field and do that kind of stuff. But there are Epaphroditus, there are partners in the United States who can participate in some of those practical, logistical things to partner in missions. Filing taxes and taking care of stateside family. My father just concluded his battle with Parkinson's earlier this year, and he's in heaven now. And for years, we would have that struggle to say goodbye to family. My mom, she's here tonight. I'm so glad she came down for the conference. Taking care of him 24/7, week after week, month after month, year after year. And there are some things that she just couldn't do. And you know what? There were neighbors nearby who partnered with us on the other side of the world to help take care of my dad in Indiana. And there was a partnering church, their local church, one of our supporting churches, who was there time and time again to help minister to the needs so that their son could stay on the mission field in Cameroon doing what God called him to do. That's partnership. That is necessary. Mr. Logistics and Logistical Partnership. And the last thing that I want to mention, supporting them with financial support. Isn't it interesting that even with the Holy Spirit, the last thing the missionary really wanted to talk about was money, all right? You get to the last chapter of the letter and look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 19. The Bible says, "Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica," now that was the very next city that Paul went to. He had barely left Philippi. He went to Thessalonica. And while he was in Thessalonica, they sent two support checks. All right, no, they sent Timothy or they sent Epaphroditus. They sent somebody with the finances to encourage him in Thessalonica. "For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." Verse 17. "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of," oh, there he is, Epaphroditus, Mr. Logistics, the guy who literally brought the money and support and the care package that Paul needed. There he is, Mr. Logistics, "Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And I want you to notice verse 19, all right? Verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." There are certain verses in the Bible that are frequently taken out of context and claimed as a promise. I want you to notice very carefully the direct context of this verse. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Brother, I know you're going through a tough time. I know you took 16 loans and you're having a hard time getting, but God will supply our... That's not the context of this verse. This verse is in the context of a church in deep poverty and great persecution who gave by the grace of God once and again, and by the time Paul is writing this letter, probably again and again and again, to Paul's necessity. And Paul writes to this missionary partnering church, and he says to them, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The church in Philippi was truly and faithfully not just a supporting church of the Apostle Paul. They sent personnel. They prayed. They communicated. They sent money. They were a genuine partnering church. And when the Apostle Paul, missionary Paul, thought of the church in Philippi, the First Baptist Church of Philippi there, just joking, he thought of them with joy. And so I hope just some of these principles, some of these things that we've quickly looked through on Sunday and then again today, I hope they'll be an encouragement and a challenge to you. I shared some of these principles one day in a church in Michigan. And I remember this elderly lady, she came up to me after the service and she said, "You know what? I don't have a passport. I've never traveled anywhere in my life. And I realize today how active I've been involved in missions my whole life. I never even thought about that." She had a big old smile on her face. And what a joy. What a joy to realize someone who has never traveled abroad, but biblically she got a hold of the reality that I am involved in missions right where God has planted me. I am going to be a sender. I am going to be a missionary partner. And I hope that's your commitment this coming year in missions. Thank you very much.